The following KOPN podcast is made possible by the generous donations of listeners like you. Please consider a donation to listener-supported community radio, KOPN. You can donate securely on our website at kopn.org.
Good kids. Now come and get your Ritalin.
And welcome to another edition of Thought Crime Radio. And if you thought that Pledge of Allegiance was disrespectful to the Constitution and flag and all that stuff, just look at what's happening in Washington right now if you really want to be insulted. It's almost 10 years after our own Reichstag fire. And the fake peace movement in this country still will not face the obvious realities of the criminals and fascists and traitors that have commandeered this country and put us into foreign entanglements, as George Washington warned us against 200 and some years ago. We are little more than puppets of international financiers at this point. And so I reserve the right to ridicule the fake patriotism that these people put on display every day. So in the studio with me today is Janelle, my co-host.
Hello.
And Janice.
Aloha.
Formerly of Hawaii, who has been on before about obstetrical issues and brainwashing and satanic ritual abuse, which is certainly relevant to the topic of American obstetrics. And finally, Kurth, my old friend from grade school.
Hi there.
Who it turns out is a survivor of satanic ritual abuse carried out by his wealthy and well-connected grandfather. And that's what we want to talk about today, is the clear evidence, consistent evidence in court records and survivor testimonies of the existence, the long existence of what can only be called evil forces that pull the strings behind the scenes in Washington and elsewhere in the world. And Kurth, I think, has a quote from George Washington, which is pretty illuminating, so to speak.
Yeah. There's a letter from George Washington written to his friend George W. Schneider in 1798. It's from the Mount Vernon Writings of George Washington, Volume 20, page 518. And he makes reference to the Illuminati and to Jacobinism. And
Jacobinism.
All right. And the Bavarian Illuminati was founded in May 1st, 1776, if you haven't heard of it yet. Adam Weishaupt organized it under the sponsorship of the Rothschild family. And it came to public light one night when a horseman carrying secret letters to the Rothschilds was struck by lightning, and the letters found their way to the Bavarian government. And these letters described the intentions of this group to use financial means to systematically overthrow all the governments of the world and bring them under the control of one world government. Their doctrine called for the enslavement of all people by abolishing the family, all religions, all nationalism. And they rejected Christian Judeo values and admired pre-Christian Roman Empire with its slavery and brutality. And all of this is extremely well documented. And their first plan of action was to systematically take over all the Masonic lodges in Bavaria. So the Bavarian ruler officially banned the Illuminati in 1784, but the Rothschilds were unaffected by that. And to quote one of the Rothschilds, "Give me control of a nation's money, and I care not who makes the laws." So in this letter in 1798, more than a decade after the Illuminati was supposedly banned, George Washington says, quote, "It is not my intention to doubt that the doctrine of the Illuminati and the principles of Jacobinism had not spread in the United States. On the contrary, no one is more satisfied of this fact than I am. The idea I meant to convey was that I did not believe that the lodges of the Freemasons in this country had, as societies, endeavored to propagate the diabolical tenets of the first or the pernicious principles of the latter, if they are susceptible of separation." So, in his long-winded way, President Washington was saying that, first off, the Illuminati still existed, and that they did have intentions to take over the Masonic lodges, and that they were connected to the Reign of Terror that took place during the French Revolution, in which 40,000 people were guillotined. So if you think the Illuminati is a conspiracy theory, then you think that George Washington is the founder of that conspiracy theory.
Well, this country has a long tradition of skepticism, although it seems to have gone out the window in the past 20 or so years. We have, we have a fake war on terror. We have a fake medical system. We have a fake drug war, fake media, and worst of all, we have a fake peace movement, which just cannot bring itself to admit that once again we have been led down the garden path to ruin the people who control this country. Could do no better than, I mean, Bin Laden could do no better than to follow the policies of the past several administrations. But of course, Al-Qaeda itself is a creation of Western intelligence, as Robin Cook, the former foreign minister of Great Britain, wrote in a Guardian article a number of years ago, and it's established historical fact, and Zbigniew Brzezinski bragged about this to a French newspaper back in the 80s. He was proud of the fact that he had lured Russia into Afghanistan and had them suffer their own Vietnam War. So these people create enemies in order to exploit the taxpayers and good citizens and soldiers of this country into going into debt, into their debt of the central banks, which print money out of nothing and then charge interest for it. The scams involved in all this are just incredibly. It's Russian dolls, one after another.
So on this 4th of July, Kurt is here to give us a history of how this was born with George Washington, our first president, and how it's historically every president, or many presidents, have talked about it.
Right. There's a quote attributed to Thomas Jefferson that says, quote, "I believe that the banking institutions are more dangerous than standing armies. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent that their fathers conquered," unquote. And we're certainly not far from that right now.
I think it's important to point out that throughout history, we're finding that presidents are talking about the Illuminati. They're talking about very dark forces that are running the money system in our country and that are basically running our governments and running in control of our land. And when we discuss this, we still have many people in the United States that would say that we are conspiracy theorists. But we want to remind those people that this has gone on throughout history, and several very powerful leaders have spoken to it. So the concept that it's a theory and that it's not real has also been implanted by the forces of darkness to turn everybody's heads away from the truth. It's very, very real, and we cannot be living in this country today without seeing that the majority of Americans are in debt. The majority of Americans have been cursed with that debt that is weighing heavy on their souls. They've been displaced from the land, and we've been told that the government has a right to own the land and that we need to pay that government money in order to live on the land. And these are questions we need to be asking ourselves about the legitimacy of.
Especially if, given that this country is paying over $400 billion per year in interest payments to institutions which have the power to create money out of electrons, essentially. Mm-hmm. They don't even have to resort to paper anymore. And with the fractional reserve banking ratio, I believe they're pushing for a total abandonment now of any semblance of having reserves in a bank. Basically, I assume that the next time there's a run on a bank, they just intend to print enough money to make good on all the debts. But the whole notion of debt in this context is ludicrous. There is no debt. No one owes these people anything. This country has a national debt because of its legislative cluelessness, because of the Federal Reserve Act of 1913.
So, Kurt, you're talking about the Illuminati, and Janice has said the dark forces. Can you clarify that for people, what it is exactly what we're talking about when you talk about the Illuminati?
Well, yeah, they privately, it's a cult, and they reject all Christian Judeo values. It is a form of Luciferianism. Members of this cult, such as Confederate General Albert Pike, has said that the Masonic religion is Luciferianism, and that Lucifer is God, and this is the worship of evil because it brings about power. And they're really taking what most people consider to be ordinary values and turning them on their heads. So that, and because of childhood abuse, most of these members, there's systematic abuse and ritual abuse, so that most of these people really have two completely different personalities. There's many of the rituals involve them wearing masks, and when they put the masks on, then the real personality comes out, the core personality. When they take the mask off, then they're putting on the mask that they show mm-hmm. everybody in the world. And so it really is up is down, and, you're through the magic mirror.
Bizarro world.
Right.
It's important when we talk about Luciferianism and worship of evil and so on, that we're talking about their beliefs.
And
right?
Who is they?
Who is they?
Who is they, Kurt?
Well, they're generally referred to as the Illuminati.
And when people say they, they're always accusing or talking about they do this and they do that. It's actually the Illuminati, right?
The Illuminati is the them.
I mean, now people always say, well, whoever they is, well, now we're telling you who
right.
they is.
And we could even name them because you spoke earlier about the Rothschilds.
The Rothschilds, the Sinclairs, the Rockefellers, the black royalty in Europe.
And the royal family of England, the Windsors.
They're all involved in it. And you look at some of the quotes from these people and they sound a lot different than what they pretend to be in, you know, generally in public.
And what you've been saying is that our presidents were not a part of that throughout our early history, and each of them has been looking at it and talking about
right.
it.
And yeah, the Masons were not taken over by the Illuminati in America until 1870. So the early Masons were an independent organization. The founding fathers, many of them, or most of them, were Masons, but they were not a part of the Illuminati, and then that takeover took place systematically.
Until it took over.
Right.
And you've told me that they don't go out and start organizations, they come in and take them over.
Yeah, that's the way they operate. They didn't create the Masons, they systematically took over. And they didn't create the United States, but now they've taken it over.
They've taken over Congress, they've taken over banking, all corporations.
Right.
Many corporations.
Right. They don't create anything. They're just parasites that use various criminal methods to...
We could even say they've taken over the medical establishment.
Oh, big
maybe,
time.
Maybe scouts and churches and...
Right. If you look at it, many Christian leaders are actually Masons, and Billy Graham was a Mason. There are other important Christian leaders. The news media has been systematically taken over.
And you said that they're against religion. Do these people that become, like, they're Masons and they've been taken over, do they know what's going on?
No, they have 33 degrees of training in a hierarchy in the Masons. The early degrees of Masons, they deliberately recruit men who are very decent human beings. And then as you work your way up to the highest hierarchy, you're systematically brainwashed or you don't make it to the top. So it's only the hierarchy, the highest members, who are really Luciferians, and the lower members are kept in a state of cluelessness about what's really going on, and they would just dismiss what we're saying as conspiracy theory.
Can I add something mm-hmm. about the Luciferian energies? Is that my perception is that they are antagonistic to life. They are antagonistic to the force of love behind all of creation. And they want to be on par with that force that's created love and that's created life. But what they're doing is creating the anti-life. What they're doing is creating anti-love. What they're doing is creating a world of extreme darkness and despair, and involving all of us in creating that as well. Each time, if we look at a dollar bill, for example, and we look at the symbolism on that dollar bill, that symbolism is made up of energies that carry darkness, and it's as if we're exchanging curses with each other every time we exchange a dollar bill, and we're carrying forward the dark plans
have. The $1 bill has the pyramid, the Egyptian pyramid with the all-seeing eye, which is a Luciferian symbol and makes a reference to the New World Order, the one world government. So every time you're buying or anything with a $1 bill, you're using an instrument that promotes Luciferianism, and it's not really that secret. It's pretty out there, but that's part of what they've learned, is if you're going to tell a lie, tell a really big lie, and people will just go in denial with it.
Yeah, and it needs to be pointed out, the New World Order inscription on the dollar bill is written in Latin, so it's not obvious what it says, but if you translate it, that's what it says.
Right.
So the symbolism, every time we do engage in the exchange of money, we are participating in a satanic created world, but it's not the money that's the problem. It's the energy that went into the creation of that money. And so we sort of have to send that energy back to its maker so that we can return money to love. And one other thing I want to say is that their reality is the reality of the technocratic world. It's the reality of technology. It's not the same as the reality of love, which we see in the natural world. All of the beauty, all of the ease, and listening to the sounds of the natural world. All of that is very healing and deeply moving for us. But we're now surrounded by sounds and structures that are deteriorating our well-being. And this is part of the dark agenda.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, people have been mesmerized to believe in a lie, but it's not impossible to undo what they've done. I mean, we could pass, you know, the Monetary Act and get rid of the Federal Reserve.
The American Monetary Act at AMI.org. Or, I'm sorry, monetary.org.
There you go. And we could tax derivatives. We have financial solutions that could get us out of this.
Yeah, the Tobin tax, which was proposed by an economist, Tobin, years ago, would place a 1% tax on all financial transactions. And given that the, as of 2008, I believe it was, the total net flows of turnover of derivatives alone in the financial markets was, what, $1.5 quadrillion, something to that effect. So, you know, 1% of that would be, what, $15 trillion? $15 trillion per year. Now, not only would this raise massive amounts of money for much-needed public works projects, but it would put a damper on their ability, like Goldman Sachs' ability, to manipulate food markets, for instance. So I know several years ago, well, when Congress legalized trading derivatives and legalized speculation in the food markets and the oil markets, since then this country has paid a huge price every year. A couple of years ago, when gas was at $3 a gallon, $1 of that went to Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan.
And many of the early American patriots referred to these people as the money changers. It was Jesus who attacked the money changers at the temple. And here's a quote from James Madison, quote, "History records that the money changers have used every form of abuse, intrigue, deceit, and violent means possible to maintain their control over governments by controlling money and its issuance," unquote. So, to take back our power, we need to take back how we use money. And it's not an impossibility, but as long as people are in denial of who these people are and what they're really about, you know.
And a couple of presidents tried that. What happened?
Right. Mm-hmm. And Andrew Jackson, they attempted to assassinate him a couple of times, which he survived.
He actually had two muskets in his gut, and
neither one of them. A Derringer. Mm-hmm. And it misfired twice.
Yeah.
And Lincoln was issued $50 million in Lincoln greenbacks and without the approval of the Illuminati bankers, and they assassinated him. President James Garfield had 200 days in the White House in which he brought about reforms and got rid of political corruption before he was assassinated.
And don't forget JFK. JFK signed executive order, whatever it was, 11,110, I think it was.
So then their assassinations are always...
Which brought in silver certificates, and he was murdered in a quite obviously a conspiracy. I mean, just Google JFK, an unsolved murder, and you will see Sylvia Chase, who is now a news anchor on ABC, talk about what we do know and what has been discovered about the JFK assassination. And you cannot come away from that documentary without the knowledge that JFK was murdered by people who had very high-level connections in the U.S. government.
And so who's controlling the money?
Well, I mean, there's various organizations that the Rothschilds and the other Illuminati members use, the Bilderberger Group, the Trilateral Commission.
I just heard that the Facebook developer just joined that Bilderberg.
Oh.
No doubt.
Yeah, well, Facebook is a great intelligence gathering tool. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can just plug in all these connections, social network connections, and find out, you know, if someone has political views that you consider to be subversive, you can find out who all their friends are, who all their compatriots might be. You know, we have handed the NSA in this country a huge assassination list, not unlike the one that they used in Indonesia in the 60s that resulted in the murder of about a million ethnic Chinese.
I would love to say something about Facebook, because there are, of course, privacy controls that would not allow anybody that hadn't friended you to see your friends. You can absolutely control that. You can absolutely control who sees your page and can access your information. But the other thing is that the real intelligence of Facebook is the millions of people like us who are on there communicating the truth day after day and lighting up the whole planet with what's really going on. So they might think that they're intelligent in creating Facebook and, you know, using it for subversive reasons to harm us, but too many people see we outnumber them by huge numbers. And we're all on Facebook, too, and we're all communicating the truth. So that's the light.
Well, I would like to add to that that one weekend I was watching The Secret of Oz, and mm-hmm. for hours, every few minutes I stopped to put one of the presidential quotes on my Facebook.
About
the bankers, the money,
the Federal Reserve,
and debt-based money, and all the solutions like he was going to talk about here. And I did that for hours, and that's the only thing I did on Facebook on Sunday. And I woke up on Monday, and my Facebook was deactivated. And I don't know if somebody reported me or if I just got flagged, but it took me about 3 days to get my Facebook back. But they know that once we get addicted to Facebook, that we're going to comply with them.
And the name of that movie is
The Secret of Oz.
And it's online
online for free. And it's an eye-opener.
Yeah. But for God's sake, don't look at it, because you might be just...
Well, don't look at it, but don't talk about it on Facebook.
But it's very important that we maintain the illusion that we live in something resembling a democracy, don't you think, Kurth?
Right. The grand illusion, that's what many people inside the cult refer to, the false reality that they're imposing on everybody. And it's one of the rules that they live by. There's three basic rules. You never admit to anybody who's uninitiated that you're in the cult. And then the other rule is you maintain the grand illusion, all the various lies that they've promoted and sold to the public. And the third rule is you have to obey all the rules that come down to you from the hierarchy. It's an entirely hierarchical system, so whoever's above you, you have to obey what they tell you to do.
And the price of admission to these networks of crime is controllability, right?
Absolutely, through one means or another.
Blackmail, they hire private investigators to find the dirt on you, and if there's no dirt on you, they simply tell you that if you step out of line, they'll kill your family and everyone you love.
Yeah, they're not above murdering children.
Oh, not at all.
So, can we get into the internal family dynamics of these people and how mind control and child abuse figures in and is so key and is really key not only to their internal cohesion but also to their agenda. Their agenda, of course, is that they hate life. And they hate their own lives most of all. And where does all this hatred come from?
Well, to many of the members on the mid-level of the Illuminati, who are the sort of middle managers, there's child abuse that begins from early childhood. You're subject to Luciferian rituals when you're about 8 years old. And then there's very intensive abuse. They have ways of torturing children that don't leave scars, things like putting a child in a padded box for a long period of time. And that's physically painful, because when you can't move your body, your muscles start to rebel, and there's intense physical pain.
This is what the CIA uses in their psychological torture techniques.
Right, and in fact, it mirrors, you know, undoubtedly, this is where they got waterboarding from. I mean, it's the simple version of it is simply to take a child and wrap him up in a sheet and then put him in a tub and dunk his head under till he starts coughing and stuff. But they've turned it into a science.
But in a less extreme form, you can sort of see where how wealthy people would tend to gravitate towards child abuse, even if they're not actively involved in these organizations, just by virtue of sending off their kids to boarding schools at an early age, and they can't hang out with their parents. They're essentially put into a Lord of the Flies type environment, you know, where the dominant, the meanest kid, you know, wins.
Well, I would just like to add one piece to that, is that there's also, I think amongst the wealthy, there's a very deep commitment to the false reality, which is the reality of money, the reality of big houses, the reality of lawns that are toxic, and there's a huge commitment to that false reality, and so that also moves us further away from love, from actually really connecting with God's thoughts and God's love.
So, Kurth, you speak from experience, right? I mean, we're not talking, we're not speculating here.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's always been, you know, I've avoided talking about it for various reasons, one of which is that it's so unreal to people that this kind of nefarious secret society would exist. But the reality of these people is so different from ordinary reality that it is kind of hard to get your mind around it. You have to understand, though, that there's a lot of payoffs, too. Materialistic payoffs, wealth, worldly power, you can indulge yourself in various ways. They believe that you should indulge yourself. They have the model of the Roman Empire, the orgies, the parties, that kind of thing.
But key to all this is the self-perpetuating nature of the child abuse. This is how these organizations perpetuate themselves from generation to generation.
Right, and there's various rationalizations for doing this. You know, why would an older relative agree to allow to have me tortured was that his rationalization was that somehow it was going to lead me to being more powerful like he was. So, you know, it's the medicine has to taste bitter for it to work. It's you pay this price, but then you wind up with the power.
You also have a normative abuse going on where if he allows you to do that, then you're going to be normal like him.
Exactly.
And I want to add that we have a culture that's filled with normative abuse when, you know, the Illuminati are not the only people that are allowing their children to be abused and traumatized. Anybody that walks into a hospital and allows their babies to be born in a hospital will be subjecting their children to ritual trauma. Circumcision being a primary example of this. So I think that the whole of this culture, the whole of this society is right now programmed. We are under a form of mass hypnosis and we are all participating in this. And the trauma-based mind control begins in infancy. It doesn't wait till 8 years old.
Right, and trauma-based mind control is at the core of the MKUltra program that was developed by Nazi scientists during World War II and then imported into this country under Operation Paperclip.
And you mentioned as a baby that your the story that you remember is that you were allergic to your mother's breast milk, and that, you know, that happens in the Illuminati family, and that happens in society where the goal is to separate the mother and baby and to keep the baby from having the most healthy substance on the planet.
And from bonding.
And from the bonding and the making the eye contact and being held by the mother.
Yeah, I was told by another relative when I got older that when I was a child, my mother, who had been a nurse, was very specific about only picking me up and touching me when I actually needed to have my diapers changed or something like that.
And so touch deprivation.
Yeah.
And love deprivation.
Yeah, although, you know, if there's a child around, people are going to occasionally pick the child up, so I don't think it was complete deprivation or anything like that.
But we have that in our society. We were told for years to just let babies cry it out. like all of these
right,
all these techniques that you're talking about get filtered down into our culture and we accept them as normal.
I want to add too, as you were talking before about being put in a box where you can't move, when infants are coming into this dimension in a hospital, they're also wrapped very tightly in blankets so that they cannot move, giving them an imprint of paralysis and an imprint that they will have no power in this dimension. So this is very extensive form of mind control that's going on. It's infiltrated almost every social institution that we can imagine, schools and government and the legal system and the hospital system, and you name it, you're going to find Luciferian protocols and procedures that are at the core of everything that they are doing. And this is what we need to be paying attention to, as hard as it is to look at it.
And that is the thought crime. That's how and we've been talking about this for 2 years. That's how, when people take their loved ones into that system, that we have people who now will not confront or believe anything that gets labeled conspiracy theory.
Right. This is an amazing amount of social control that goes in the society. It's like people have completely walled off their skeptical minds from the rest of their beings.
But look how organized it is. And you were talking about this yesterday. Can you go into your thoughts about just how organized they are in terms of creating this reality?
Well, I mean, they have an almost infinite amount of money. They control at this time most of the money in society, and they have systems for controlling people, blackmail. They don't have to kill somebody if they can control them with threats of violence. If they have to, they can pretty much kill whoever they want to.
And they'll threaten to kill your family members if you try to leave the cult, right?
Now, well, you said most of the money, but they run the Federal Reserve, which is in control of all of our money. So
true.
They're in control. They have access to all the money.
Most of the money in the world is owned by a very small group of people.
Yeah.
But even the idea that money has power is an interesting thought. Mm-hmm. It's an implanted thought.
It's an we're all controlled by this abstraction, and if you don't have money, you're disempowered. If you do have money, you are empowered. And oftentimes they can control people just by bribing them. I mean, they don't really have to go through a lot of work. They can just buy off whoever they want for the most part.
Right, and it's. I think we need to point out too how the MK Ultra program feeds into the blackmail schemes in Washington, and how they torture children, foster children they kidnap off the streets, subject them to MK Ultra techniques, and turn them into sex slaves for use in blackmail schemes against powerful congressmen and military types and others. And this was uncovered, this sounds crazy, but it was uncovered in the late 80s and early 90s. There were articles published in UPI and Washington Times, Washington Post. You know, Barney Frank was caught up in this scandal, although, you know, the left wanted to protect him from it, of course, because he had certain attributes that were desirable to the left. But
I would love to just jump in here, because part of what's happening with the Luciferians is that they are engaged in a form of soul snatching, in the theft of human beings. And the theft of children and the murder of children is part of how they think that they're gaining power in this dimension. It's like, we're going to steal the energy from another soul. We do this in a variety of ways. We can literally kill that being, or we can drown them in debt, or we can steal their land and make them pay us money to live on the land that should be theirs to begin with. They can do it in a variety of ways, but basically their existence is fundamentally connected to our energy. They're stealing our energy, and the energy of children in particular they favor. So children are being murdered. Hundreds of thousands of children are going missing every day. Hundreds of thousands of children are also being turned into trauma-based mind control slaves.
I wanted to refer the listener to a exposé that the BBC did several years ago, called the Belgium's X-Files, and you can Google that term, Belgium's X-Files, X-Files. Talks about a pedophile torture and murder ring in Brussels, in Belgium, that was uncovered. But the same thing has been happening in this country for quite a while.
So we have about 13 minutes left. So do you, Kurt, do you have more information that you wanted to share about anything, but also about the some of the founding fathers? And you had a lot of quotes there.
Right.
I
kind
of want to give you this last time to...
Here's a quote from Woodrow Wilson in 1913. Quote, "Since I entered politics, I have chiefly had men's views confided to me privately. Some of the biggest men in the United States in the field of commerce and manufacture are afraid of something. They know that there is a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive, that they better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it." Unquote.
Who was that again?
Woodrow Wilson.
Wow. The guy who passed the Federal Reserve Act. Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to do a short station break, and we'll be right back.
I know what you're going through.
I've been there.
Nobody else I know has been there.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, I had been so excited to come home.
But it's harder than I thought.
Not everyone understands that.
Things at home may be as you left them.
But you don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org.
And connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Today, over 85% of women around the world are breastfeeding. While breastfeeding is cited as the best way to feed your baby, there are many misconceptions about the special relationship between child and mother. Breastfeeding is a learned skill that both mother and baby need to practice many times before they fully know and understand the process. The key to a successful breastfeeding relationship is support, and joining a group of like-minded parents is a great way to add to your support network. This message is brought to you by KOPN Columbia.
Let's blow the whistle on evil thoughts.
On KOPN, Columbia.
And how is it that we have to teach people that breastfeeding is a good thing for a baby?
The only thing.
it's the...
there's not a substitute for breastfeeding.
No. The baby needs its mother. That's it.
Yeah, formula is a last resort. We have women who can donate through the Human Milk for Human Babies. It's a global network on Facebook, and women can wet nurse like they've always done throughout history.
There's so many lies that the medical profession has told us about raising children and other issues like sunlight, the need for sunlight.
These companies that are part of the Illuminati, would that be some of them like Nestle's and some of those that are making sure that people don't get breastfed? And
yeah.
Monsanto.
Right. There's a lot of infiltration of corporate America and multinational corporations. In order to rise to positions of power, you practically have to be connected to these secret societies.
I ran across, I did a little research the other day on endocrine disruptors, and maybe this is sort of off topic a little bit, but anyway, Procter & Gamble has exempted toothbrushes and even food from the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act, which banned endocrine disruptors from consumer products. But Procter & Gamble has a published thing on their website where they say that they specifically exclude infant wipes, feminine hygiene products, toothbrushes, floss, cosmetics, toiletries, antimicrobial and antibacterial household products, food, pet food. Anyway.
It's really not off topic. I mean... That's what Kurt has been talking about. These corporations,
they create
these illusions of what's appropriate and what's healthy, and what Denise has been talking about, where it's technological, it's stuff to buy instead of nature.
Most of it's toxic.
Yeah, but I just want to tie this back into the big agenda. The big agenda here is depopulation. They think there are too many peasants in the world, and one of the effects of these endocrine disruptors is to render men sterile, and the sperm count of men in this country has been plummeting for the past, you know, 20 or 30 years.
Rendering all of us sterile, really, with the vaccinations and the GMO foods. I mean, babies are coming in with deformed placentas and umbilical cords, and women are becoming infertile because of the vaccinations they're receiving as teenagers. I wish we could go back to the breastfeeding issue, Kurt, because you spoke yesterday about the fact that they made a very big deal about not breastfeeding you. And it's interesting that commercial said we have to learn how to breastfeed because we've been so separated from breastfeeding that we don't remember how to do it anymore.
Well, I think it was part of the overall conditioning. One of the things that when I got a little bit older was that this relative would take me out to this farm, and they wanted me to bond with this little puppy and to feed it. And then one time when I went out there, they were very adamant about me killing the puppy by drowning it. And, of course, I was a little kid and I was crying, but I didn't want to be put in a box or anything, so I finally did it. And there's that kind of conditioning. They want people who can do as they're told without any human emotion.
Which is why they start with children.
Yeah, and the split in the psyche that has to happen when you're forced to do something like that is, it's a desperate...
That's what creates the two, the separate people that you were talking about.
The alters, yeah. They all have two personalities.
Or more.
And is that a conspiracy theory? No. We all know that that's not. That's where it comes from.
Listen to the brutality of that, folks. Taking a child, that forcing that child not to be breastfed so it can never bond with its mother, then forcing it to bond with a dog, and then forcing that same child to kill the animal. Okay? This is systematic ritual torture and abuse for the purpose of mind control and splitting off the brain.
What I am astounded by is that I have known Kurth all my life, pretty much. We've been best friends for a very long time. And I never suspected any of this until we started talking about it a few years ago.
Well, so,
when you started researching it?
Well, that's when you were ready to hear about it because you had already done research.
Well, that's true. I'd already researched circumcision.
And that's a good way to, maybe for you to end it, like, because that is a discussion that we had, like, people are not ready to hear this.
Who says?
Well, we've been talking about that over the week.
Right. There is a shock value, but, I mean, and maybe it's difficult for them to take into consideration the whole satanic cult aspect of what we're doing, but it should be obvious that our economic system has been taken over, and we're being controlled through it. Here's a quote from Census the 4th of July from one more American president. Franklin Roosevelt, in a letter to a friend, said, quote, "The real truth of the matter is, as you and I know, that a financial element and the large centers has owned the government of the U.S. since the days of Andrew Jackson," unquote. And that's Franklin Roosevelt. That's another conspiracy theorist.
Could you address those members of the audience that might be out there that are actually involved in some of this stuff and don't know how to get out?
Yeah, you do have to, everything that the Luciferians are trying to do is to get you to disconnect from your relationship with divinity. And that relationship's a natural thing. I mean, before there were organized religions, people were naturally spiritual through their connection with nature.
Right.
And even organized religion, when it's at its best, can offer a way of creating a connection, an awareness of divinity. And you have to reconnect with your own awareness of divinity. Ultimately, what Luciferians want more than anything else is for people to reject an awareness of divinity. That's why there's so much emphasis on ultimately destroying the family, destroying religions.
Destroying love.
Exactly. And so you have to reconnect to your own emotions. I mean, you know, simple things like being aware of yourself breathing, what you actually feel. And this is something, you know...
But why should somebody be in touch with their emotions? Why should they care about their own emotions?
really.
I mean, no, seriously. I mean, if you're that alienated, and
you
what I would say in response to that is that what you are exhibiting is a slave mentality. If you are so divorced from your own emotions that you don't even see the value in having emotions at all, then you are a slave.
Let me say something.
You have
else.
No power at all.
True.
Emotions are can communicate more to us in a millisecond about the divine truth of what really should exist than weeks and months of thinking about it with our mind. Our emotions tell us so much, and all we need to do is spend time in the natural world, in the original design, outside of this technocratic overlay, to reconnect with our emotional selves, to reconnect with our knowing about what really is behind all of life. And it's not the Luciferians.
And I'd like to say that the seat of emotion is in the limbic system, in the amygdala of the brain. And the limbic system is in its development in the last trimester and first year of life. And that we humans are sensory beings. We're emotional beings. We're pre-verbal at that point. And that's being programmed into the brain. The emotional state of a human being is really developed, the root of it is developed in the prenatal period and in the birth and the early bonding year. And all of us have these sensory emotional experiences, and they're nonverbal. It's the subconscious. It's the feelings, like Janice is saying. Those are the real feelings. But when we have these tortures that happen to babies in their gestational period, violence in the home, starvation, violence in the community, and then the violence of birth. We have babies who are wired to feel
to go into
anger,
shock.
And they're in shock. So when we talk about adults being, you know, we need to be emotional, like, I don't think so. You know, don't want to go there.
These people are terrified to feel anything because they've been so hurt, because they've been so separated from love. Because
and it's nonverbal.
It's pre-verbal. Exactly.
And they can't articulate it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they play right into the system that destroyed their lives. Kurth, how did you break out of this?
In two minutes that we have left.
Well, somebody once said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. If the truth of your own emotions, the truth of what's actually happening in the world, the truth of what actually happened to you in your life. If you have to go after the truth. I mean, we live in a culture where truth is easily sacrificed. The politicians lie all the time. The mass media is just a fiction story for the most part at this point in time. People are embedded in lies. And you just get sick of it after a while, and you start pursuing the truth for its own sake, wherever that takes you.
And pursuing the love of the source behind all creation would also be a good pursuit. How can I reach that? How can I reach my essence, which I know is all about human love?
Really, if you can't touch who you are, you're an instrument of someone else's designs. And with that, I think we need to sign off. The tech guys are in the studio. And so happy Independence Day.
And thank you, Kurt, so much for your willingness to share.
Right.
And pray for this country, because this country needs it.
Much love.
Much love.
Aloha.
Bye-bye.